Blake Shapen will be Baylor's starting quarterback in 2022. I'm Drake Toll, and this is Locked On Baylor. Now, in the podcast world, every now and then you have breaking news, and you have to re-record an episode at 12:42 in the morning. So we're not going to scrap the entire deal. John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated is still going to join us to talk DJ Lagway and the odds that he'll commit to Baylor, and we'll also talk Baylor men's basketball recruiting, the transfer portal, and recent commitments. But first, Blake Shapen is the starting quarterback over Gary Bohannon. What does that mean for Dave Aranda and this program? I'll tell you, first and foremost, Gary Bohannon will transfer. He has to. This guy has been a four-year letterman at Baylor. He's taking a fifth year to come back and be the starting quarterback here. And he's told that a two-year guy is getting the nod over him. Not to say the decision is wrong by any means whatsoever, but still, you are a starting quarterback at Baylor University in the most successful season in program history. You can start at other Power Five schools. Gary Bohannon deserves that opportunity. You don't want a 12-2 caliber quarterback, a Sugar Bowl champion quarterback on the pine. And if you're that quarterback, you don't want to be on the pine. You don't deserve that. You deserve to go somewhere else. Granted, just because you don't deserve that doesn't mean it's not what happens. The game of football is a business, and it's not always a people business. It can't be. It's a business. And that's why Blake Shapen's the starting quarterback next season. There are people questioning it. Oh, you know, Gary's a fifth-year guy. Gary's given it all to the program. Yes, but the better quarterback is now starting. Oh, Drake, is Blake Shapen the better? Yes. Listen to yourself. If you're one of those people that's saying right now, oh, I don't think Blake Shapen's the better quarterback, I'm going to be honest with you and say that I trust, and I think you'd agree, I trust Dave Aranda, Jeff Grimes, and Sean Bell more than I trust me, more than I trust you, and more than I trust anybody else listening to this show today, unless you're Jeff Grimes, Dave Aranda, or Sean Bell listening to today's show. The best quarterback for Baylor University will start for Baylor University next year, and that's Blake Shapen. Why not say it now if you know it? Now, Gary Bohannon moving forward. He has already taken Baylor football out of his Instagram bio. He has already posted a workout video without any Baylor clothes on. No shares to this point by a Baylor player either. So it's pointing already that Gary is looking for a route out, and he deserves that. If he inevitably does leave, right? It's almost more of a win at this point. He should be hailed as a Baylor freaking hero. That guy is not a traitor. He's not leaving because he's you know, sending a program in the dust. Instead, he's taking an opportunity to go somewhere, start a quarterback, which he wants to do, and he deserves to do at the Power Five level. So when Gary leaves the Baylor program in the next couple of weeks, maybe even the next couple of days, that is going to be a moment to celebrate and celebrate what he did as a Bear. But again, Gary Bohannon was the catalyst to a 12-2 season, the best season in Baylor program history. Now, Blake Shapen is the same guy who has a facility record for the most completions to start a game in Dallas Cowboy Stadium history, AT&T Stadium history. And that guy also doesn't deserve to ride the pine, right? He won you a Big 12 championship, even injured. So you have two guys. Neither of them deserve to ride the pine. You then go with the better option. To me, Gary Bohannon has a much worse arm than Blake Shapen. To me, Blake Shapen is a much worse runner than Gary Bohannon. But the way this all shakes out, what fits the offense best, what fits Baylor best, is Blake Shapen starting at quarterback next year. And sign me the heck up. You know why? Because Dave Aranda is making that call. Because Sean Bell and Jeff Grimes are making that call. That's why you sign me up. I get it. And I can tell you this. Dave didn't do this. Sean didn't do this. Jeff, with the idea that they're going to, you know, tick off Gary Bohannon or send him to the wayside. No, I guarantee you, this is tough. It's a business decision. And they made the right one. They made the one for the future, too. Blake Shapen, he's got, what, 2-3 years left of eligibility? Well, you say the words COVID year, and they're going to give you something in the NCAA. So Shapen's going to be Baylor's starter for years to come and can develop into an elite quarterback and could even be that next year. You know how I know? Because he's Baylor's starter, and those three coaches are the ones making that call, and I trust it. Gary Bohannon, you are Baylor. You are the epitome of what Baylor is. The hardest worker on the team, the best leader on the team, the guy who's in every workout competing his butt off and trying to outlast the guy next to him to make that guy better. There is nothing, nothing that it, just every superlative, I should say, that you can give to Gary Bohannon should be given to him. A Baylor great, and I will stand by that. The catalyst to the greatest season in program history, but the better quarterback is starting next year because those coaches said so. And I trust those coaches because they put out a Sugar Bowl champion team and the best team in program history in year two. That's why I trust those coaches. Their track record speaks for itself. And Baylor under Blake Shapen is going to be more than fine. All right. Regular programming, right? It's 12:48. I'm all riled up. I got to go to bed at some point. And you got to hear from John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated because he's got takes on DJ Lagway and the odds that Lagway, DJ2BU, comes to Baylor. So this version of Drake's going to go away. And the next time you hear me, it'll be way earlier in the day, me, who's probably a lot more chipper and a lot less voice gone. So get ready for this. Folks, enjoy today's episode of Locked On Baylor. DJ Lagway, a five-star quarterback from Willis in the class of 2024. Maybe you've heard of hashtag DJ2BU. Who is DJ Lagway, and what are the odds that this elite quarterback joins Dave Aranda at Baylor University? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Welcome, folks, into Locked On Baylor. I'm Drake Toll today alongside John Garcia Jr., the director of football recruiting at Sports Illustrated. And John, the big commotion this past weekend for Baylor off the field of the spring game was a guy by the name of DJ Lagway. 4-5-star by most accounts. Kid is highly touted. He's been to Alabama, Florida, Arkansas is also in the mix. And it just seems like Baylor has no shot at getting this guy.
Well, he just visited, right? I mean, he was just on campus. I don't think it's too early, especially at the quarterback position, to begin to eliminate some of these schools. On that same front, you know, quarterbacks have to work with an accelerated time frame. We saw Austin Novosad get his commitment wrapped up in the class of 2023 relatively quickly. And Lagway is a kid who's going to have a more national reach in his process. So he's been really busy trying to check out these schools to get a first impression. And it's never too early to read into some of these first impressions that he's going to get. And look, this is a national recruit, as you said, arguably the top quarterback in the country for next cycle, huge breakout year in 2021, and a legitimate dual threat. So, I mean, this is a scheme versatile recruit that can fit a more conservative front or the most wide open spread offense that's out there. But it's never too early to read into visits, especially when it's surrounding a spring game or especially when it's in state. You know, this is a Texas kid, and I think that's something that is always a little asterisk when you're talking about top recruits because, you know, Texas kids, Mississippi kids, Georgia kids, certainly. There's certain states where you're like, no matter what, you got to keep an eye on the in-state schools. Ohio is one of them as well. And I consider Texas one of those, especially with the fluctuation that we've seen, right? It's not just about the Longhorns anymore. A&M has certainly made their impact. Baylor's on the up and up, clearly. So I think all those are under consideration. But yeah, he just visited, so they have to be in it to a certain extent.
John, that's exactly what I wanted. You're saying there's a chance, and there are the pessimists that say not the small Baptist school down in Waco who's making waves in college football now, and he would certainly be one of the top three gets of all time in Baylor football history if he were to commit to Baylor. Now, his dad is a Baylor football alum, so obviously that plays into the mix a little bit, but I want to know why. Why would a kid like DJ Lagway pick a Baylor over a big NIL school like Texas A&M or Alabama?
Well, it's probably still early to think about him with the NIL process. But look, quarterbacks are their own thing in almost every single way, even to the point where I'm not sure NIL has as much staying power with the quarterback. Because look, if you're a starting quarterback at a Power 5 program, like, you're probably going to do okay with NIL. Yeah. I don't care if it's – what's the smallest Power 5? I mean, do we go Kansas for football, Purdue? Yeah. you know, it's a smaller school in general that you're still going to be okay with if it comes down to it. But really, it's about opportunity. Again, he's a Texas kid. And when you're the face of a program, it doesn't matter how small that program might appear to be perceptionally. But again, this is a Texas kid who understands what Baylor is. And obviously his father plays into that to a degree as well. And I think there's always the possibility of you really with recruits that are legacies, you look at it two ways. They either totally avoid where the family has all the ties, like Arch Manning is like, no, thank you, Ole Miss. No, thank you, Tennessee. Or they go all in the other way. And they're like, you know what? Like, I would love to carry on this. That's why they're called legacies. I would love to carry on the legacy where dad made some kind of impact and try to beat him out. Right. I mean, we saw last year that the whole award circuit, like Aiden Hutchinson at the Heisman and all that, it was all about like beating his dad's records and extending that legacy at Michigan, which he obviously did. So there's still that kind of almost like a romantic element of following in somebody's footsteps. So again, I think at quarterback, it has a little bit more oomph. And look, Baylor's one of the programs that we've seen. If you get that generational quarterback, that face of a program where RG3 was more visible than, you know, coach we won't talk about, that means something. It's happened already. So I think that has some impact as well. You know how big the reach can absolutely be. So that's got to be appealing in its own right.
Alabama heavy in the mix right now. As we mentioned, Arkansas too. The Alabama quarterback room as it sits today has 7 QBs. Now Baylor has 4, and I think that's played into it. We've talked to a couple different people in the last week, football and basketball side. Smart recruits, smart parents are looking at high school coaches too. Roster, depth chart. What are your odds to play looking down the road? I know that's at play here for Baylor and DJ Lagway, but On the flip side, John, if in case there's a Baylor fan that needs to be sold on DJ Lagway that's saying, all right, maybe he wants us. Why do we want him? What sets this guy apart as one of the top one or two quarterbacks in the state of Texas in the class of 24?
Well, as I mentioned, huge breakout year in 2021. If you just go by the numbers, unbelievable touchdown to interception ratio, accounted for more than 20 scores against just 2 interceptions. So there's a little bit of maturity in his game that's on display already. But really, where he, you know, breads his butter is when you turn the tape on. I mean, this is an electric quarterback recruit who can do it with a big arm. He can throw off balanced. When he does set his feet, he can push that thing 50, 60 yards down the field with relative ease. But then he's got this other dynamic when he takes off with the football. It really turns into a dynamic slot receiver or even a running back when he does make a decisive decision and say, hey, I'm going to tuck and run. Big things happen, whether it's your long touchdowns, making guys look silly in space, or just outrunning others. DJ's tape has a little bit of everything. And when you start to put all of that together, it really just makes kind of the perfect modern quarterback, you know, 6'2", 200 pounds right now. So he's already got good size. He's a compact, well-built kid relative to just being a sophomore in high school. But you also know he's probably going to get a little bit taller. Obviously, his dad had some height to him, and he's still just, you know, 15, maybe 16 years old at this stretch. So we know there's a lot of, you know, physicality is a strength, and we know more is on the way, basically. So it's really easy to project out a kid like that, and he's got a higher floor because of that dual threat ability. So it really just catches everybody's attention, even schools that aren't necessarily known to have that running quarterback element. As you mentioned, Alabama, Georgia, some of the schools that are in this mix, Texas A&M, they're really not used to having that QB run element as much as other schools, but even they're in on Lagway. And I think that's what makes him special and kind of reemphasizes the point of his overall skill set and that projection of what he might become by the time he actually gets to one of these schools.
John, I like it. You're saying there's a chance. Baylor's in the mix, not impossible. And I know a lot of folks are excited that he was in Waco on Saturday. And I want to ask you about Jaden Porter, wide receiver out of Lorena High School, about 30 minutes down the road. But before I do that, I'm going to let John take a nap, recharge the batteries really quick, and tell you all about Built Bar. So Built Bar, the way to keep up with your New Year's resolution of staying healthy. So I wanted to eat right. I've been trying to eat right. And a big part of my diet now is Built Bar. Since I took the job at Locked On about a month ago, I've really gotten into the Built Bar Puffs. They have unbelievable flavors, like these chocolate puffs that have, I mean, I'm reading like all the flavors here. Mint brownie, coconut almond are the most popular three, white chocolate this month. You also have 130 calories, 4 grams of protein, 17 grams of protein compared to 4 grams of sugar and 4 net carbs. Your candy bar has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar. It's a no-brainer that Built Bar is where you need to be investing in your health. Go to built.com, code LOCKED15 will get you 15% off of your order at built.com, code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Again, built.com. John, the Baylor Bears in their spring game this weekend were lucky enough afterward to get a commitment from a kid in Jaden Porter, who's by most accounts, 3-4-star guy. I've seen him pretty heavily lean 4-star at most sites. And Adel Arena, a young playmaker who's coming into his own. What are your thoughts on a kid like Jaden Porter coming to the program?
When you watch his tape, Drake, you're like surprised he's a sophomore. There's great size already, 6'1", 185 pounds or so. And he's just got this size and body control that you're like, how is this a mid-level teenager? He's got impressive tape and production. He'll be a 4-year varsity starter, already over 2,000 yards receiving in his prep career. I mean, this is as productive a young recruit as you're going to get at that position. And look, it's always kind of been about Baylor for him, right? Dream school. Yeah. First offer in state, a lot of boxes that you want to check. This kid absolutely checks for the Bears. So you wondered, you know, kids like this, when they get on campus and the spring game brings you that snippet, right? That preview of what it really is. It could be like on a Saturday in Waco, and you feel it. You feel it if at any level, much less when you're a teenager, and it really could just lead to saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with the process. And that's how it went down for him. But this is a dynamic wide receiver. He's got some kind of semi-viral moments, right? He's got this hurdle that he's got like framed, and it just keeps getting tweeted out that I keep seeing in the Baylor market. I mean, he's got great athleticism, big physical, as I mentioned, ultra productive. I think he's relatively polished as a route runner, given his youth and how young he actually is. And then above all, when you think of Baylor receivers, he's got that speed. He's got the speed to take the top off of a defense. Most of his plays from the slot or the outside feature 9 routes and 8 routes. That's go routes and posts, where he is, making contested catches or just outrunning the cover man assigned to him. So a lot to like about the first impressions with the newest Bear commitment. Again, just a class of 2024 recruit. So it's always good to focus on the current year, but with guys like him and Lagway on campus, it's never too early to look ahead, especially with a kid like this. You know, you talk about the legacy of Lagway, and that's great, and it'll keep Baylor in the hunt, among other things. But when it's like isolated and Baylor's a dream school, he posted a picture of him like at 5 years old, rocking the green and orange, you know, just saying, hey, this is a day one kind of thing. It hits different. It means a little bit more to the fan base because it means more to the kid. So those are things you certainly like to see. And it's never too early to get those guys on board. Those are easy fan favorite types, in my opinion. So obviously a big fan of this get.
So, John, both those guys coming in and having, you know, a really good trip in the spring game leads me to ask, these spring games, how crucial are they for most schools when it comes to recruiting? Because it's a weekend where you don't just have one or two guys on campus. You've got a sideline of kids that could commit to your school together. So now these guys are fraternizing, talking with one another, recruiting each other. Just how big are these games in general?
It's kind of the perfect blend, because when you get to the fall, Drake, these coaches are focused on one thing, winning the dang game. Like they got a game to prepare for and win. And yes, there is recruiting. You will get time maybe with Dave Aranda before the game, maybe more likely after the game, especially if it's a win, things like that. But it has to be so well managed, right? There's maybe 10 or 15 minutes that you can get with Dave, because he's got to move on to other things. He's got a press conference. He's got an interview. He's got to talk to the team and debrief, all these other things. But with a spring game, it's obviously much more wide open. It becomes kind of a whole weekend thing, as you mentioned. And it's the game's not as serious, right? A lot of these coaches kind of allow their assistants to really take control so they can just kind of be CEO and watch over everything. So that gives the coach a little bit more freedom. So I guarantee you the windows to sit down with Dave are much bigger. He's much more relaxed. He's not worried about, you know, whether or not someone's, you know, healthy enough to play on his team or whether or not the other team's got a trick play up its sleeve or what have you. He's more relaxed. So it enables for a more normal interaction between coach and prospect. But then when you get out on the field, it still has those elements of a game day. The fans are there. The team is hyped up. They're split up against one another. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of recruits that are there sort of together. You don't get that during the spring otherwise. You go for a spring practice, there's maybe five kids there. They're kind of scattered. They're watching different position groups at different parts of the field. Spring game, everybody's in the same section, and it's a bit of a game day atmosphere from that standpoint. And we know peer recruiting kids is bigger than it's ever been. The pandemic taught us that. And I think it only helps the bigger groups you have on campus on these spring game weekends. And the other thing is, these kids have options. There's huge spring games every single weekend. Just last Saturday, as you mentioned, when Baylor was playing, you had what? Oklahoma spring game. Yep. You had Texas, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Oregon. I mean, it was all over the place. So when kids elect to go to your school when they have options, I think it means much more as well. So spring games are really big deals for recruiting. I would venture to say that it's bigger for recruiting than it is for the current team, because that's just more of another scrimmage. It just happens to be public this time around. Most teams do it once a week anyway. So I would say recruiting is really the focal point, other than the public exposure and a chance for the fans to see the product.
John, last question for you to kind of wrap it all together when it comes to spring football, because it is faded fast and we get into the real off season now. But like you said, there are kids that are choosing to go to Baylor spring game over Oklahoma, over Texas, over Ole Miss in the same weekend. How much should I be reading into that?
I think a good bit. It's one thing to have one or two other options, like in general, but with some of those that we named, and there's obviously a lot more than that, you know, it's contenders. It's schools that DJ Lagway has offers from. It's schools that other kids have offers from. So it would be an opportunity to see any of those up close and personal. And typically, again, with the spring game being a little bit more relaxed, schools invite a larger pool of recruits than they probably normally would. So that means even kids that aren't as high on the board might get the chance to take in campus. So that means that any kid that actually does, when he has options, it means even more, because even kids without options sometimes get invitations. So I think it is something to read into. I'm always a fan of looking back on signing day and say, hey, who was at this big visit weekend, whether it was a spring game, whether it was a rivalry game, something like that. Who was at that game that has now signed with that program? And often there is a relatively strong correlation. So it is always something interesting in the moment and then to look back on later.
I like it. John, I don't like it. I love it, because DJ Lagway was on Baylor's sideline Saturday and not Texas. That's a win in itself. Thanks so much for joining, as always.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
I love it. Johnny Garcia, again, of Sports Illustrated. See his stuff at sportsillustrated.com, si.com/college. And I'll tell you, before we get into a conversation about Baylor's newest bear on the basketball floor, that's right, Kilgore College's Dantuan Grimes are going to tell you about Rock Auto and rockauto.com. All the parts your car will ever need are at Rock Auto. So this episode, brought to you by Rock Auto, where you can find car parts for much cheaper than you'd find at a chain store, right? You got a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from your local chain store, $210 from rockauto.com. Family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, like brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil. If you need it, Rock Auto has it. So here we go. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" as their "How did you hear about us?" And then they'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So, here we go. Baylor basketball has added another piece to next season. But I want to first say this. I, on this very podcast, made a terrible mistake on Monday when I was listing off contributors for the Baylor men's basketball team. You remember when I was doing the little hand thing? And I forgot to mention, how do you forget Langston Love? I don't know, but I did. I left Langston Love out of the rotation. That was a mistake. He's certainly in there. So that makes my starting five right now. Adam Flagler, who I do believe is coming back. LJ Cryer, who I do believe is coming back. There are rumors of him transferring. I think it is locked in that no matter what, LJ Cryer is back next season. Keyonte George, five-star player, number two, number three recruit in the entire nation. You can't let that guy ride the pine to start the game. Jalen Bridges is your starting four, no doubt. You have to have size. You can't have a fourth guard in a lineup in the Big 12 that plays really physical. And at the five, Flo Thamba. Thamba being a, now what would that be, three-year starter for Baylor, four-year starter, someone who's been in the program, knows the program really well, and I don't think you can question, of the five guys, that Flo Thamba and Adam Flagler, if he returns, both of those are squarely in the starting five. Now, Kilgore College's guard, D'Antuan Grimes. D'Antuan stands at 6'2", 120-pound, 190-pound combo guard. Kilgore Junior College. So 14 points per game, shot 36% from three and 81% from the foul line last season. 3 years of eligibility remaining as well. D'Antuan Grimes brings in, reminiscent to me of what Dale Bonner was last year. Dale Bonner goes and wins a national championship at Fairmont State, comes to Baylor, and you think, okay, who's this kid? How soon can he contribute? Or is this more of a future move? And I can tell you with full confidence, I said it then with Dale Bonner, it was a future move that Dale Bonner would not be a starter for the Bears. And I'll say it with full confidence now. D'Antuan Grimes is not a plug and play right now today, get him in the starting lineup player. He is a great athletic point guard for the future. He's going to be a really good scoring point guard for Scott Drew, reminiscent of James Akinjo, but I think with a little more dog in him. He's got this toughness, this physical factor that's going to play into Baylor's program really, really well. Four rebounds, three assists per game. Not a big assist guy, add that in there, but four rebounds per game for a point guard, definitely not bad. And D'Antuan Grimes has decent enough size at 6'2", 190 pounds. And I'll say the reason he won't be a key contributor year one, even though he might be the best true point guard on the roster, is because you have Adam Flagler, Keyonte George, LJ Cryer, Langston Love, Dale Bonner. Those five, at least right there, are five true guards. You could even put Loner in the guard conversation at 6'8" because it seems like he'd rather play kind of a guard type. I don't think D'Antuan Grimes cracks into that five coming from a JUCO. Not to say a JUCO is bad by any means whatsoever. I think you'd be stupid to say that it is. But there is a curve, a big learning curve, as we saw with Dale Bonner, when you come from a smaller level of play up to a national championship caliber program like Baylor. And that's what D'Antuan Grimes is doing. So there's going to be a point in time where it clicks and he becomes Baylor caliber. Is he right now, if I put D'Antuan Grimes on the floor with those guys that I mentioned, the Flo Thambas, the LJ Cryers, the Jalen Bridges, does he compete? Oh gosh, I'm sure. But compete at the level to take one of those 7-8 roles out of the guys who will be playing next season, I just don't see it right now. I think Grimes is someone who is replacing Dylan Hunter, who decommitted and is going to Clemson now. Good luck winning games there. Neither here nor there. I think he's the replacement for Dylan Hunter, and Hunter wasn't going to play next year very often. Maybe I was overlooking him in my preseason reviews while he was committed as someone that I didn't expect to play. I don't think he would have played because, again, he doesn't fit into the top 7 or 8 guys in this lineup. Dylan Hunter doesn't, and neither does D'Antuan Grimes, his basic replacement. So D'Antuan's going to be a great player next season, the season after this one, right? Or the season after that when Baylor's in their big new arena. He had offers from Oklahoma State, North Texas, Wichita State, St. Bonaventure, Tulsa, South Florida. And what you're seeing kind of down that list, Grant McCaslin, North Texas is great, Wichita State, St. Bonaventure, Tulsa, all those schools kind of have something in common that they're these mid-major programs. They need a guy to come in and play right away. So I do believe that what he's doing is going to Baylor to play for the future. If he wanted to play right now, he would have gone to South Florida or, you know, St. Bonaventure. And he didn't. He decided to go to Baylor, which I think he must understand then is a future move. And for Scott Drew, it's a future move. I'm sure they've checked those boxes to let him know, like, hey, it's similar to what Dale Bonner was last year, is what D'Antuan's going to be. And so That's where you'll see him, I believe, in that lineup. Does he add something great for Baylor? I think he does in the future. But right now, I don't think you'll see an instant impact from the guy, D'Antuan Grimes. 14 points per game again, 36% from three last year, 49-9 record in games in the junior college ranks, two tournament appearances as well last year. Kilgore men's basketball, no joke, great program. But again, D'Antuan Grimes, great future player, not the best right now player, and that's okay. You know what is better than okay? NFL draft coverage from Locked On. So thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Make your second listen now, Locked On NFL Draft. Eric Crocker, Ryan Tracy, they're going to give you all this insight as the NFL draft is upon us. Like, we are right here to NFL draft. So you want to catch up with where Jalen Petrie, Terrell Bernard, JT Woods, Kalen Barnes, where are these guys going to go? Tyquan Thornton, NFL draft, Locked On NFL draft, Ryan Tracy, former NFL cornerback, Eric Crocker, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And come back tomorrow because we've got continued coverage of continued recap, I guess I'd say, of the Baylor spring game and how this Baylor football team is shaking out going into next season, and a breakdown continually of, you know, Caleb Lohner and D'Antuan Grimes and Jalen Bridges and how this men's basketball team is all going to weave their way together next year. As always, I'm Drake Toll from Sikkim 365 hosting Locked On Baylor.